as tall or as steep as the rock faces they'd dealt with so far. But every stone shone wetly with condensation or algae.
"Does it look slippery?"
said Chief Panji, with her usual fierce glee.
"That's because it is! Philistar boy, you've had it easy up until now, but you've got one hell of a slog ahead of you."
Sam's tongue flickered out nervously, but he didn't protest, only nodded. The chief continued.
"That's another thing you should be learning through pathfinding. Every single one of you has unique skills and weaknesses. Each of you is going to run across tasks you can do better than anybody else, and you're also going to run into a few at which you are, well, let's just say it, pathetic."
Leia looked down toward the mud plastering her pale gray climbing suit, all the way to mid-thigh. "Well, if I had to be pathetic at one thing, at least it's this and not something dangerous."
"I'm splitting you up into teams of two," Chief Panji continued, "and taking you around to different bases from which to climb. You won't be that far apart, but good luck catching a glimpse of anybody else. Coordinates for our meeting place have been auto-downloaded into your equipment. You have to figure out how to meet in the middle. Oh, and be sure to activate those anti-impact fields. If you don't have those on, your first slip on those cliffs will be the last of your lifetime."
"As though we needed reminding about that,"
Chasselin said. He was already surrounded by the faint, telltale shimmer of his field. Emmeline peered at him down her long nose.
"For someone who grew up in a skyscraper, you're awfully scared of heights."
Leia stifled a giggle as Chasselin sullenly folded his arms across his chest. To Leia's satisfaction, she and Kier were paired for the climb. It seemed like a good time for them to talk on their own, but she hadn't counted on what difference a little slipperiness would make. Although the grade of their ascent was low enough that they could have walked on other terrain, the slick surface required them to go up on all fours, and it was hard going. Talking about anything other than the essentials of climbing proved impossible.
"All right," she panted. "Looks like there's a kind of ravine or something coming up. Not very wide, but we'll want to use ropes."
From his place below her, Kier said,
"Don't be afraid. We've got this."
She hadn't been especially worried until he said that, because it meant he had to be worried too. As they moved along the diagonal ascent that brought them closer to the ravine, Leia got a better look at what they'd have to deal with. It was a solid 3 meters to the other side. They'd have to use ropes and swing across. Challenging, and more than a bit scary, but fun.
"I always liked this part,"
she confessed as they anchored their tethers to the stone.
"Really? I hate it. Usually I have to close my eyes."
"Come on. The anti-impact field protects you."
Kier shook his head.
"Doesn't make that fall any less terrifying."
"Then don't think about it."
After a couple of hours skyfaring with Emmeline, Leia had gained more experience in tumbling down. "Just think about your first handholds on the other side." She spotted her own potential holds, double-checked her rope, and pushed off as hard as she could. For 1 second she could have been flying, swinging sideways through midair, hardly even able to feel the tether's pull at her harness. But that momentary exhilaration had to give way as the other side came close. Leia hit it with her arms and legs braced properly to give a bit, and instantly found purchase. She shoved a new bolt anchor into a crack in the stone, until she felt secure enough to tether herself to that. Breathing heavily and smiling, she called to Kier.
"Come on! Try it!"
The way he smiled at her then made her feel as if she'd just performed a magic trick, and offered to teach him how. He shoved off. In the same moment, Leia saw grains of rock dust falling from his anchor. Before she could even shout in alarm, it gave way, and he dropped from her sight.
"Kier? Kier!"
Twisting around as best she could, she saw to her relief that he'd managed to make the other side, barely. He clung to the inner lip of the gorge, his handholds precarious. The useless anchor and rope dangled from his belt.
"I'm all right," Kier said. "Sort of."
"What do you mean, sort of?"
"I hit the other side hard. I'm pretty sure it took out my field generator."
Leia went from mere fright to near paralyzing horror. If Kier's generator was broken and he fell, he would be killed. He was completely untethered to the rock face and in a poor position to climb. It was too easy to imagine him tumbling down, broken against the stones long before he ever hit the ground. Yet after that first rush of terror, her mind cleared. Resolve focused her better than anything else. "I'm coming down for you."
"Don't. Your rope might not support too."
"It could,"
she protested, although she knew their weights together would be near the limit of the hold she'd prepared. But she hadn't yet unclipped herself from the rope on the other side. Quickly, she spooled out more length on her new tether, hopefully enough to reach her and Kier. He still didn't want her to risk herself. She knew that because she could see him trying to angle himself for a better foothold. There wasn't one to be found, and he was only endangering himself in the process.
"Will you just hold still?" she shouted.
"Hang on!"
Leia pushed off yet again, swinging back to the other side of the gorge, a far longer and steeper arc this time, which gave her the full effect of falling. She didn't love that part. Yet again she made a solid landing, and instantly shoved off again, this time going straight toward Kier. He flattened himself against the rock as she made impact just next to him. Grabbing the edge of the gorge was harder than she'd thought it would be. Kier had done well not to fall immediately. Still, she had it. Up close she could see how pale Kier was, but somehow he managed to smile.
"My hero."
"Not yet."
She craned her neck around and realized just how tough it would be to get out of the gorge, with its many sharp, jutting stones. Any outcropping could easily slice their ropes, or Leia and Kier themselves. In fact, swinging back over to the other side, her original plan, looked extremely likely to do just that.
"Okay, we need a new plan. We're going to have to somersault, throw ourselves, however you want to put it, around the lip of this gorge. That's the only way we're going to get over."
"We shouldn't try a maneuver like that blind. The chief told us 100 times.
Chief's not here, and this is our best option."
Nothing was more sobering than realizing the best option was still bad. She used a locking carabiner to clip her belt to Kier's. This close, she could make out the muscles in his arms, and how they were shaking from the sheer strain of holding himself on such a tenuous perch. His eyes met hers at the sound of the metal clip, and he said,
"I should try this on my own."
"There's no place to put in a bolt anchor."
"You shouldn't have to put yourself at risk for me."
"Hey, my field generator's still working, remember? You're the one on the line here."
She grinned at him, hoping he wouldn't think about the fact that in a fall as precarious as the one below them, there was a chance her generator would also be damaged before the emergency activation. Either he had thought about it, or he'd picked up on her nervousness. But he didn't argue, only steadied himself as best he could, as she slung one arm around him. They pressed together tightly, enough that she could feel his heartbeat hard and fast against her own chest. He said only,
"Out and over?"
"On three. Count it off for us."
As soon as she said that, Leia felt centered in a way she hadn't before. Her nervousness fell away, and she took a deep breath. It wasn't just an inhalation. It felt as though she were taking in the scents, the moisture, becoming part of the planet itself.
Kier asked, "Are you sure?"
"Yeah."
Leia was surprised at how much she meant it.
"I have a good feeling about this."
"Okay. One."
She shut her eyes, breathed in again. It seemed to her she could feel the shape and dimension of the rock around them, that she knew the location of every spar and outcropping as automatically as if they were a part of her.
"Two."
Instinct told her to connect to what she was feeling, to make herself a part of it. No, to know that she was a part of it. Because of course she'd been a part of this planet all along.
"Three."
Leia leapt at the exact moment Kier did, her limbs flooded with strength beyond what she'd thought possible. They swung around the outcropping and easily reached the other side.
The instant Kier made contact, he shoved a bolt anchor and clipped himself to it, independently supporting himself so Leia's rope wouldn't have to bear all the weight. For a few seconds afterward, they hung there, panting hard, steadying themselves.
"That was one hell of a jump," he finally said. "How did you do that?"
"I don't know." Already that odd spell that had fallen over her was broken. The strange vital energy that had so briefly sung to her had gone quiet again. Together they clambered up to a small plateau, where they stopped to rest and regroup. Leia had thought Kier would check his field generator first. But instead he turned to her.
"Why did you do that?"
"What? Save your life?" That didn't faze him.
"Yes. And risk your own."
"I couldn't let you fall."
"You could, and you should, rather than endanger yourself."
His words made no sense. "Even if you weren't my friend, I would try to save you just like any other citizen of Alderaan. No, like any other being from anywhere. Except maybe Palpatine. He was welcome to break his head wide open."
"Will you listen to yourself?"
Kier's hand closed around her arm.
"It's like you think your own life doesn't belong to you."
She started to protest, but stopped herself, because the first words that came to mind were, "It doesn't." Kier leaned closer, speaking with an intensity that sent chills through her body.
"Of course you want to do the right thing. Of course you want to serve the people of Alderaan, and yeah, of course you hate the Empire. But you don't always have to be selfless. You don't always have to be the one making the sacrifice.
You were hanging on by your fingernails. Nobody else is around.
And if you'd fallen, what then? Think about what it would have done to the people of Alderaan, to your parents."
Leia had never considered that. Even as she inwardly quailed at the idea of her mother and father in that much pain, she didn't think that changed anything. If they'd seen her there, the only individual able to save someone in peril, they would have told her to do everything she could, regardless of the risk. They were the ones who taught her about duty and selflessness in the first place. Kier took her hand. His skin was as scraped and raw as her own. The touch had to sting for him like it did for her. She wouldn't have let go for anything.
"You keep trying to take the whole galaxy onto your shoulders."
His words were almost a whisper, and she bent toward him to hear.
"If you're like that when you're just a princess, what happens when you're queen?"
"I serve my people." The response was automatic.
"You deserve to have your own life. You deserve to have someone who puts you first."
Maybe. They were so close now, Leia could feel his breath against her cheek. "Do I have somebody like that already?" Kier tilted his head, studying her expression. At least she thought he was. At the moment, it was hard to look anywhere but his lips.
"Yeah, you do."
His other hand cupped the side of her face, but Leia was the one who leaned in for a kiss. It wasn't like she had tons of experience, but the kiss seemed like a good one to her. Great, even. Possibly even spectacular. Then Kier kissed her again, and she realized it could get even better, more than she'd ever dreamed. They were the last team to the rendezvous point, which earned them a scolding from Chief Panji before they told her what had happened. One look at Kier's damaged field generator changed her attitude so completely that she was soon promising to find them an easier hike next time. This earned them a huge grin from Chasselin as they rode back to their ship, plus a friendly tail rattle from Sam. But Leia couldn't pay much attention to any of them, not even to Amelin's knowing glance, as she and Kier sat side by side, shoulders and knees touching, his smile matching her own. Chapter 21. Leia had wanted to learn so much during her challenges, but new lessons kept presenting themselves. Unexpected ones, on things she'd never guessed she'd need to know. For instance, she was now learning that the impatience you felt before kissing someone you liked wasn't nearly as bad as the impatience you felt afterward.
Concentrate, Kier murmured as they stood in the center of the target dome. He sounded very severe, which was ironic given that he was the one who kept brushing his hand along her back. I'll watch my target's hotshot. You watch yours. A glittering at the edge of Leia's peripheral vision made her spin sideways, her fingers tightening on the trigger the very moment she'd taken aim. The holographic target shattered into dizzying swirls of light before vanishing. She gave Kier a glance over her shoulder, as if she were being smug. He obviously understood what she really felt, because he breathed in sharply, his targets forgotten. When she smiled, he leaned closer to her, the way he had back on Felucia, which gave her the chance to reach past him and blast one of his targets to bits. "Stang," he muttered, which made her laugh. "You're distracting me on purpose, aren't you? A girl's gotta win somehow." "You usually win by just outshooting me," Leia shrugged. "If I don't change it up, how can I keep you on your toes?" Abandoning all pretense of paying attention to the game, Kier slung one arm around her and pulled her close for a quick, tantalizing kiss. Too quick, in Leia's opinion. She drew him back to her, and for a few long minutes the shimmering holographic target spun and swirled around them in the darkness, safe from harm. So this was what it felt like to live only in the moment, to forget responsibilities and rules, to find a secret part of yourself within another person, where somehow it had been hidden all along. The ominous future no longer loomed constantly over her. It had been banished to the distant place where it belonged. It was only a possibility, not even a real thing yet, a prediction that might not come to pass. She could hardly sleep for thinking about Kier at night, but woke up smiling every morning. After months of loneliness, she was again cherished. Even that wasn't as sweet as the feeling of cherishing someone back, caring about someone else so much that it felt as if she had two lives to lead, two perspectives on the galaxy, instead of just one. How had she ever managed with just one? The end chime sounded, startling them from their embrace. Leia laughed when she saw their abysmal scores projected into the arena, and Kier groaned.
"Okay," he said. "Next time we have to concentrate, or else our skill levels are going to reset back to beginner."
"Think about it." Leia ran her hand along his wiry black hair, idly wishing he'd grow it long enough for her to weave her fingers through. "If our levels reset to beginner, we'll have to work our way back up again. That means hours and hours of practicing together, all alone in here, just you and me." Exaggerating his thoughtful expression, he nodded.
"You know, we could use lots more practice like today."
"So much more."
"Infinite amounts."
Before Leia could respond again, a red light shone down from the ceiling of the arena. A familiar signal in the senatorial complex, one that indicated a special announcement. Lettering appeared on the highest screen, as a droid voice intoned,
"There will be a formal address in the main chamber at 1600 hours. All senators currently on Coruscant are required to attend."
Such mandatory addresses were rare, and they never meant anything good. A queasy uncertainty punctured Leia's giddiness. One look at Kier's face made it clear he felt the same way. He said only,
"I don't think the requirement applies to apprentice legislators, but I think we ought to attend."
"No, it doesn't apply to us. And yes, we absolutely have to go." Instantly, Leia hurried toward the changing rooms. At least being so distracted with each other meant that she and Kier hadn't worked up a sweat in the arena. If they only changed, with no need to shower, they could make the session easily. She hadn't realized she could snap back into official mode with such speed. Probably that was a good thing. However, there was a moment when Kier came out of his changing room, still tying his wraparound jacket shut, revealing a glimpse of his bare chest. "Let's go," she said to him, adding inside her head, "Snap out of it." Leia had been allowed to sit in her father's senatorial pod a few times as a little girl, and she'd accompanied him to most of his sessions while she'd been working as his intern. To her, it felt very familiar, or it should have. Yet as she took her place in the pod that afternoon, she became sharply aware that the mood in the Imperial Senate had shifted in the past few months. Normally, senators spoke to each other via comms almost constantly in the minutes before an address began. Mostly bureaucratic chit-chat, the verbal equivalent of the majority of the work they did. While the Imperial Senate was too heavily yoked by Palpatine's rule, they maintained a sense of busyness and endeavor, an eagerness to accomplish whatever they could. Today the chamber was very nearly silent. Senators filed in, took their seats, and said almost nothing, not even to the staffers sitting with them in their pods. Most of the sounds Leia heard were the thumps of footsteps and the rustles of robes, along with a few odd coughs and chirps. The stillness unnerved her. Come to think of it, the Senate sessions had been quieting for a while. The boisterous beginning she remembered as a tiny child had become more subdued later on, the stillness falling so gradually that Leia had missed it until now. Had the senators forgotten that they still held some authority? That they were one of the few forces standing between Palpatine and absolute power? They couldn't afford to become passive in the face of resistance. That was when they needed to bear down and work harder. Then she remembered Ariel and sagged in her seat. "Are you all right?" Keir murmured next to her. Despite his concern, he didn't seem to recognize the depth of her disquiet. But of course he wouldn't. He didn't know her reasons. Instead of answering his question, she said, "This is your first time in the Senate chamber, isn't it?"
"Except for one introductory tour."
His grin pierced her through. He was excited about this, thrilled to see it, because he had no better days to compare it to. He still believes. I have to believe too. We can accomplish something in this chamber, even if it's harder than it used to be. The entry to the pod slid open, and Bail Organa walked through. His expression seemed as distant as usual, until he saw Leia and Keir sitting side by side, closer than she'd realized they were until now. He raised one eyebrow in what ought to have been a gentle joke. Instead, it sparked Leia's temper. How could he shut her out for so long and yell at her when she was only trying to help, then act like nothing was wrong? At least she was grown up enough not to say any of that out loud. She simply half-turned her head, refusing to meet her father's eyes. Keir, however, was already getting to his feet.
"Good afternoon, Viceroy. I hope it's not inappropriate for us to attend."
"Of course not, Mr. DeMaudi. It's good you're both here."
Bail took his seat, drawing his long coat closer around him. The Senate chamber was kept relatively cool, a concession to the many senators whose planet's elaborate court dress could be suffocating. But Leia knew her father well enough to recognize that gesture, and know it had nothing to do with cold. It was a sign he was worried. Bail Organa was a calm, even-tempered man. He didn't worry without reason. The hushed room fell completely silent as the speaker's pod rose to the center of the room, all lights swiveling to refocus on that spot. Grand Moff Tarkin stood there in his olive-green uniform, a figure as narrow and sharp as the blade of the Rinden sword. His image on the pod's console screen revealed a thin smile on his face, the most ominous sign of all.
"Esteemed senators!"
His thin voice rang throughout the chamber, and Leia didn't think that was just the amplification droids at work. This man knew how to project his authority without seeming even to move.
"You will remember the terrible incident but a few weeks ago, when insurgents attempted to compromise an Imperial medical frigate. As paltry an effort as it was, it nonetheless represents an egregious disrespect for the law of the Empire, and for Emperor Palpatine himself."
Paltry? Taking a whole medical frigate? Leia tried to call to mind the sheer size of the enormous Imperial Starfleet. Its ships were so numerous, so titanic, so populated with millions upon millions of officers, that it was hard for a human mind to truly comprehend it. Maybe losing one frigate didn't matter so much. No, it mattered. Otherwise Tarkin wouldn't be so determinedly pretending it didn't. Tarkin had a prim smile,
one that looked as though it knew it didn't belong on his face.
A thorough investigation revealed that the instigators of this action came from within the government of the planet Christophsis, which has received untold riches from this empire in order to rebuild from its devastation in the Clone Wars. These leaders chose to reward our generosity with rank and gratitude.
Bail Organa's hands closed into fists in his lap. Following her father's gaze, Leia saw that the Christophsis senatorial pod remained empty.
Therefore, we have made an example of these leaders. I should say, former leaders. While the ex-senators and territorial supervisors have been jailed for terms of 4 years or more, the Prime Minister has been tried, convicted, and executed for treason. Furthermore, his home city of Tofen, found to be the center of this activity, has already been pacified.
That meant hundreds of thousands dead, if not millions. The shock numbed Leia to her fingertips. Tarkin raised an eyebrow, as if he could hear the cries of protest silent within every person in that assembly.
It is hoped that this action, drastic though it is, has served to quell the radical elements at work on Christophsis, to restore the planet to order, and to deliver a message to all those who would threaten the peace our Emperor has given us. We stand here now, always, and forevermore. No matter what else may come, the Empire will endure.
A few senators from Coruscant and Glee Anselm began to applaud wholeheartedly. Others joined in almost immediately, Bail Organa among them. Although Kier stared at his viceroy clapping for an eternal empire, Leia understood and put her hands together too. The recorders would be focusing on every pod, every person. Anyone who failed to show the appropriate enthusiasm for Palpatine's latest outrage would become a likely target in the future. Tyranny turns us into liars, she thought, hating herself even as she applauded. Leia looked sideways to see her father smiling sadly at her. He felt exactly the same, she knew, and she couldn't be angry with him any longer. Although he continued clapping, Bail turned back to Tarkin with his chin held high, his gaze unblinking, in a silent show of defiance. Her attention shifted over to Kier, who wasn't clapping. No doubt he didn't yet understand the full political ramifications of this moment. Maybe he saw her and her father as hypocrites. Worrying about what he'd make of her didn't trouble Leia as much as the way he stared at her father. Kier didn't appear admiring, intimidated, or confused. He appeared angry. When he'd first learned of the plans against the Empire, he'd said her parents were endangering their world through their involvement. This news proved his point. What happened on Christophsis could happen on Alderaan. Any day. Any moment.
Chapter 22.
We should return to Alderaan for a few days, Bail Organa said after the session.
As all around them, other senators walked back to their offices in various states of ill-concealed anger and shock.
I have business to conduct there. And besides, I've missed your mother very much.
Translation, I have to talk to your mother about what happened on Christophsis. Leia wanted to be home as well, safe within the palace walls, hopefully discussing this openly with her parents. She was also aware of an urge to burrow deep into her own bed, beneath the covers, which was embarrassingly childish, but would feel so good. When will we leave?
As soon as the Polestar can be readied.
Bail turned to Kier, who was walking silently, slightly to the side of father and daughter.
You're very welcome to return with us, Mr. DeMaudi. There's more than enough room aboard. It's an honor to be invited, sir. I accept.
Leia's heart leapt at the thought of spending still more time with Kier, at least until she realized that they'd have her father as a chaperone. Even worse, her dad's presence would keep her from discussing Christophsis openly with Kier, and Kier's presence would keep her from discussing it openly with her dad. Bale's generous offer to his daughter's friend had bought all three of them several hours of strained conversation about absolutely any subject other than the one they all had foremost on their minds. She sighed. Conspiracies were harder than they looked. The Organa family didn't speak of Christophsis until dinner time, when they dined alone on the terrace. As soon as the last human attendant left, leaving behind only a few servitor droids, Bria uttered a swear word Leia had never heard from her mother's lips before, then added, "How could they do it?"
"You know how."
Bale shut his eyes briefly, and his fingers closed around the handle of his dinner knife, as if he might soon have to use it as a weapon.
"Palpatine's maintained his stranglehold on this galaxy for nearly 2 decades. An entire generation has grown up with no memory of the Republic and no idea of what true freedom would look like. Perhaps he thinks he doesn't need to respect even the last vestiges of self-rule our worlds have."
Leia would have protested that she knew what true freedom would look like, as did Kier, and probably most of her other friends. That was something you could recognize even when you'd never seen it before. But she wanted her parents to get used to talking about this with her in their presence before she jumped in. Rising from her chair, Bria paced the length of the terrace. The dark red caftan she wore was cut just low enough in front to reveal the soft glow of her pulmonodes, which had replaced her heart and lungs after the long-ago accident that had so nearly killed her. Most people who'd received pulmonodes kept them visible only temporarily, until they went through the Bacta sessions necessary to encase them in new flesh and skin. However, Leia's mother wore hers proudly.
"It reminds me that I lived," she told Leia once, "that I cannot be so easily stopped." "Do you think this will finally make the others see what I've seen?"
Bria continued gazing out toward Aldera on the horizon, hugging her arms against her chest.
"Do you think they'll finally accept that the Empire will only be defeated through direct action? Are they ready to take up arms?"
When her husband didn't answer right away, she added,
"You still see it, don't you?"
Bale nodded as he leaned back in his chair, and a squat little droid took the opportunity to refresh his Chandrillan tea with hot water.
"I meant what I said a few months ago. While I still don't think such conflict is inevitable, I accept now that it's likely. Even advisable. Mon Mothma believes so, and she works even harder on me than you do."
Bria smiled ruefully.
"Good for her. You must see that what happened on Christophsis makes things harder for us," he said. "Getting everyone on board after something like this will be difficult."
Leia could remain silent no more.
"Standing up to the Empire means taking a risk. A big risk. Everybody has to have known that already."
Her mother returned to the table, though her attention was for her daughter rather than the meal.
"Of course they knew before now. But there's a great difference between knowledge in the abstract and the concrete reality of dead bodies and destroyed cities. We have to live with the absolute certainty that our freedom from the Empire can't be bought only with information, resources, and money. In the end, the price will be blood."
Hardly able to believe she dared, Leia said,
"What if that means the blood of the people of Alderaan?"
Sharing a stricken look, her parents gazed at each other for a few long seconds before Bale said,
"If we're to be true to Alderaan's ideals of justice, dignity, and peace for all peoples, then we must share equally in the necessary risks."
His words resonated inside Leia, ringing true to everything she believed. Yet she couldn't forget what Kier had said either.
"We've created justice, dignity, and peace here. One place in the galaxy where people can live the way they should live, not kneeling at Palpatine's feet. We have to protect that, don't we?"
Bale rose to his feet, a move so sudden that it rattled the table and made both mother and daughter jump.
"I thought we raised you better than this, Leia. You're not a selfish girl, and you're not a cowardly one. So stop acting the part."
With that, he turned and stalked off the terrace without looking back. Leia stared down at her plate. her mostly uneaten meal blurred with tears she refused to shed. And she bit down on her lower lip, hoping one pain would erase another.
Sweetheart, it's all right. He shouldn't have said that.
Bria came to her daughter's side and took one of Leia's hands in her own.
You're not the one he's angry with.
That's not what it sounds like. Leia blinked back the tears just in time. Her mother shook her head.
What you're saying now isn't so different from what he was saying last year. After the Clone Wars, your father hoped never again to see a larger galactic conflict. He accepted this only with great difficulty. And I think hearing you make those same arguments, it forces him to confront just how serious circumstances are. That this is what we have to contemplate. Larger galactic conflict. That could mean a number of things. None of them good. What exactly are we contemplating?
Bria pulled back. Leia had finally found the new boundary of what her parents were willing to reveal.
Let us be the ones to worry about that.
She ran one hand over her daughter's braids.
I'm sorry we've burdened you as much as we have already.
The truth isn't a burden.
Oh, sweetheart.
Bria's smile was sad.
If only that were so.
That night, Leia was distracted for a brief time by a video Kier had sent her. A time-lapse image of the candlewick flowers in his family's garden, opening to the night. He'd chosen beautiful music to go with it, and she felt almost as though he'd given her a bouquet. Even that thrill faded quickly when she thought back on everything that had happened that day. Her father's harsh words felt like lash strokes that would take a long time to heal. Even that wasn't as bad as remembering the fate of Christophsis. Grand Moff Tarkin's chilly satisfaction in the deaths of so many people. So much for sleep, Leia decided, throwing off her coverlet. By this time, the palace would be silent and still. Her parents and the human staff were probably asleep, and the majority of the droids would, like 2V, stand dormant in their charging stations. In other words, it was the perfect time to sneak around. Slipping on her blue robe, Leia tied her long hair back in one tail before tiptoeing into the hallway. Although the ancient stone walls could muffle any number of sounds, she trusted the silence that surrounded her. No light shone beyond a few candle droids hovering every few meters. Her heart thumped as she hurried along, checking each new room as she went. It felt almost absurd to be so worried about moving around her own home, particularly since no one but her parents would dream of stopping her. And she'd never been forbidden to go into the Queen's private stateroom when her mother wasn't present. But the fact was, she intended to snoop. Bria had said, "Our freedom from the Empire can't be bought only with information, resources, and money." That suggested their allies were already pooling funds. All those hours her mother now spent huddled over the ledgers and accounts, Leia suspected that wasn't just the usual work of handling the Crown's purse. The extra time could well be attention the Queen was giving to the monies for whatever great effort her parents had in mind. Bria's private stateroom was a smaller space, bordered on one side by the vast chamber of the public stateroom, and on the other by the library. One of the oldest areas of the palace still in common use, the room had stone walls, exposed wooden rafters, and a fireplace so enormous it stretched nearly the entire length of the room, and was deep enough to walk into. The thick, hand-woven rugs kept the chill of the stone floor at bay. So cozy was the ambiance of the space that her mother occasionally abandoned the Queen's offices to work in here, in the light and heat of a real fire. Which meant the info portal in that room was cleared for access to the royal accounts. Leia placed her palm over the silver circle of the sentry, then smiled when the portal lit up. Every member of the royal family could delve into the accounts, though she'd never done so except during her ill-fated attempt to learn bookkeeping. While her parents might have sealed off strategic information about their efforts, she was wagering that they wouldn't have thought to hide the funds. The wager paid off. Her brief acquaintance with the royal accounting told her which expenses were normal and which were more unusual.
Immense amounts of credits were coming in and out under the suspiciously generic yet unfamiliar label, Spaceport Development.
Leia knew full well Alderaan wasn't currently building or even planning a major new spaceport.
That meant she also knew where to start digging. She hadn't been examining the funds under that label very long before she first ran into a Toppy Prime. Chandrilla, Okahaunt, Pocris Major, Crate, Unzel, Moncala.
What she already knew about the senators and places involved told her that probably all of these worlds were in some way connected to her parents' efforts against the Empire. Pocris Major in particular seemed especially active in the past few months. The amount of credits directed there was staggering, far beyond the capacity of even the Royal Purse of Alderaan. Furthermore, like Crate, Pocris Major sent no money in, only received it. They must be building a base there, she thought, just like Crate. But that explanation didn't satisfy her. Pocris Major had received more than 50 times the credits given to Crate. Whatever was going on there operated on an entirely different scale. Leia had no intentions of dropping into yet another military outpost with a blaster on her hip. Her father's words about shooting down possible intruders had stayed with her. But that didn't mean she couldn't take a look. Evaluate. Once she'd memorized the information that seemed most pertinent, she eased out of the private stateroom and headed down the hallway. As she walked past the library, though, she heard her father's voice.
Leia!
Her first thought? Busted. She caught herself, though. The act of walking around her own home wasn't inherently sneaky. Guilt just made it feel that way. She went through the library door to find her father sitting in one of the large leather chairs by the far windows. Outside, the dark blue night was spangled with stars in the sky and candlewick blooms on the ground. He wore a deep green robe, once almost as impressive as his viceroy's coat, now worn almost shabby. One of the old paper books lay across his lap. "What are you doing with that?" she said as she came close. Vale gestured idly at the book.
"Looking for wisdom in the past. Though, of course, they had no more then than we do now."
His warm brown eyes regarded her more tenderly than they had in a long time.
"I'm sorry I've been so short with you of late."
Leia's first impulse was to say, "It's okay." But she resisted. Better to tell the truth. "It feels like I can't do anything right where you're concerned." He shook his head in disbelief.
"You've done almost everything right your entire life. We've always been so proud of you, so fortunate in you. Sometimes I still can't believe that of all the children in the galaxy, fate brought you to us."
They'd always said such things to her. But it had been a while since Leia had last heard those words, and they affected her more than before. A lump in her throat, she said, "I got pretty lucky, too." Bale held out one hand. She took it, sinking down onto the padded bench at his feet. As he squeezed her fingers, he said,
"What your mother and I are trying to accomplish, it's the most ambitious, dangerous, terrifying thing we've ever done. We're risking everything. Even you. The weight of that knowledge bears down on me every day. If I've taken my frustrations out on you, I apologize."
Her voice wavered as she replied, "I can't imagine how hard that must be."
"I hope you never have to know."
As long as they were being honest, Leia figured she might as well acknowledge the hardest truth of all. "You know, keeping me in the dark won't save me. If the Empire discovers what you're doing..." Her father closed his eyes, as if in pain.
"Maybe not. But if there's any chance, any at all, we have to give you that."
"I still think I could help."
"You can. In the Senate."
She rolled her eyes, but Bale leaned closer to her and continued.
"Making allies, forming allegiances that exist independent of Palpatine's control... That's the most important work in the Imperial Senate these days. If I hadn't worked together with Mon Mothma for so long in the Senate, do you think we could be allies in this?" Leia had never considered this angle before. So it's not just about the official work. It's about the unofficial connections.
Precisely. Nowhere else can so many planetary leaders come together without danger or secrecy. The Imperial Senate is only a shadow of what it was in the days of the Republic. But someday, I hope, it will be remembered as the cradle of an alliance that brought freedom back to the galaxy. He smiled gently at his daughter.
Learn to play your part in the politics behind the politics, Leia. There truly is valuable work to be done.
I never thought of it that way before. Brightening, she added, and the people in the apprentice legislature are the ones who might be senators in their own right in a few years.
Exactly. These are the people who will be important in your future.
Her father's dark eyes took on the mischievous twinkle she knew so well.
Like, say, this Keir Damati?
Stop! Leia mock shoved her father away, which made him laugh. She'd missed the sound of his laughter more than she'd known.
You can't stop us from asking questions forever, you know.
Bail's curiosity appeared very real, but she knew him well enough to understand he wouldn't pry if she didn't want. And she didn't. What she had with Keir was too new, too fragile to fully reveal yet. It would be like prying open the petals of a candlewick blossom in the daytime, only to have the sunbeam scorch the bud within and permanently extinguish the light. I'll tell you about it when there's more to tell, she finally said. Okay? Her father nodded once, sharply, like a man making a deal he was happy with.
Okay.
When she left the library that night, she felt aglow with happiness and relief. Being at odds with her father had haunted her. At least now they were friends again, and she understood him better. More than that, she saw a way for her work in the apprentice legislature to be truly useful. But that didn't mean she'd forgotten about Palkris Major. Chapter 23. Looking for allies in the apprentice legislature also meant looking for them in her pathfinding class. It made sense to start with Harp Alor, since Chandrila was already so strongly allied with Alderaan. Mon Mothma appeared to be even more central to the work against Palpatine than Leia's parents were. And the other Chandrilan senator, Winmi Lenz, had attended several of the banquets that weren't really banquets. Together, Leia figured, she and Harp could assess everyone else. So she managed to get onto Harp's team for the next pathfinding trek, through the marshlands of Chandrila itself, hoping they'd have a chance to talk. They didn't.
This is disgusting!
Chasselin waded through the hip-deep mud, wiping his sweaty forehead with the back of his hand.
I thought Felucia was bad, and I thought Chandrila was supposed to be a civilized planet.
It is. We are. But the marshes are... Well, they're like this,
Harp finished, deflated. One of the few wildernesses remaining on Chandrila, the marshlands were swampy and hot, wreathed in opaque mists exuding from the twisty, blue-leafed trees that formed at least 90% of the landmarks. Chief Pangea told them that finding their way through the marshes would test their ability to observe and remember small details. Leia decided she should have known from the chief's grin that the trip would also involve extra misery.
We're running behind! I just know it!
Harp whined.
We'll be the last ones to the rendezvous point!
Leia managed to smile for her.
Doesn't matter as long as we get there. Aren't marshes supposed to be flat?
Chasselin griped as they trudged on, their way illuminated by sunlight, filtered greenish by the mists.
Because we've been going upward at a small incline for the past 3 hours, and I'm bloody well sick of it.
We'll get to the mud flats in a few clicks, Leia promised. At least they would if she was correctly remembering the oddly splinted together roots of one particular tree. Chasselin looked toward the skies for mercy that wouldn't arrive.
Mud flats? Mud flats represent our big opportunity for everything to get better.
You said you wanted to stop climbing,
Harp retorted.
Well, this is your chance.
Leia thought,
Would I fail my challenge of the body if I abandoned two of my pathfinding partners in the wilderness? Leia gritted her teeth and pushed onward. Sure enough, once they reached the mudflats, she was glad to see them. The flats rose up from the swamps in a series of plateaus, none of them appealing, but at least more solid than liquid, unlike the gunk they've been soldiering through. If they could just work their way up the flats, they'd have a clear view to the shorelands beyond, which would lead them to the rendezvous point, and home. Leia glanced down at her skin-tight trek suit and sarong, both thickly coated with mud, and wondered what Kier must look like. She couldn't wait to tease him about it, or to be teased in return.
"Finally," Chasselin said. "All right, Harp. Boost me up, and I'll pull the two of you after me."
Harp put her hands on her hips.
"Why should I be the one to boost you up? Why shouldn't you boost me? You're taller than me. You'd be better at it."
He doubled down.
"Well, I'm also stronger than you, so I'd be better at pulling you up, too."
"You don't know that you're stronger."
"Oh, please, Harp. You hardly come up to my elbows."
"That doesn't make me weak."
"Force give me the strength to not actually murder them," Leia thought. But their endless bickering, combined with her exhaustion and the general grossness of the day, had worked on her temper until it was near the breaking point. Once again her temples throbbed, and the only thing she could think of to be glad about was the fact that she was a few paces behind them, and still, for the time being, out of the argument.
"You're just angry that you can't buy your way to the top of the class, like you do with everything else," Harp shouted. "Some of us actually care about doing the right thing."
Chasselin yelled back.
"Some of us just want to get out of the mud already."
The anger within Leia boiled hotter, until it felt like the only strength left in her body. Surely at any moment she would snap. That was when she heard the distant rush and felt the faint rumble beneath her feet. Leia lifted her head, looking up the flats. Through the greenish mists, did she see movement? The sound loudened until it caught Chasselin's attention.
"What's that?"
"Oh, Criff," breathed Harp, her eyes widening.
"Mudslide!"
It was as if the name made the image snap into focus. Horrified, Leia realized half the hillside was now sluicing down toward them. Those on the bank could run for it, but anybody still in the mud when the slide hit would be swept away.
"Chasselin, you go first," Leia cried.
He was right about being stronger. She cupped her hands together, and he instantly stepped into them, hurling himself onto the bank. Over the roar of the mudslide, louder every second, she said,
"Come on, Harp, now!"
Harp took the step after that, reaching for Chasselin's outstretched hands as he pulled her onto the bank. Then he lunged forward, desperately reaching for Leia. The wave hit her as hard as anything solid, as hard as a tree or a wall. The breath left her lungs. The light left her eyes. Her body tumbled over and over, surrounded and suffocated by heavy mud rushing along at incredible speed. She felt as if death itself had swallowed her whole. Pathfinder training kicked in. Squeezing her eyes shut, Leia forced her hand down to her belt, where she hit the field generator. She heard a horrible slurping liquid sound all around her, then startled as the mud popped out to the edge of the field, leaving her bobbing in an energy bubble. By the dim light at her belt, Leia could make out the swirls and ooze of the mud rushing by. Although panic tugged at the edges of her consciousness, she managed to keep her body still. The bubble was strong but not impermeable, and thrashing around could compromise the field's integrity. She had to trust it. Air is lighter than mud. Lightness rises and heaviness falls. Wait it out. But there's only so much air in this bubble. Light slowly began to filter in, then burst upon her in a rush as the bubble surfaced. Bobbing within it, Leia rolled sideways toward the nearest dry land, or what passed for it on Chandrila's marshes. Once she saw wet, flattened grass beneath her, she turned off the field generator and flopped onto the ground like a caught fish. Her breaths came too quickly in her chest, and mud covered nearly every millimeter of her body. It didn't matter. All she wanted was to lie here, not moving,
preferably forever. From the distance, she heard her name being called. After another few moments, she regained enough energy to care and to recognize the voices.
Leia!
Harp was very nearly screaming.
Leia!
Your Highness!
Chastelin had pitched his voice to Carrie, a surprisingly deep, booming shout.
We're looking for you! If you can hear us, let us know where you are!
After a couple of tries, Leia was able to take a deep enough breath to cry back,
Here!
They ran up to her moments later, each of them so obviously terrified that Leia almost wanted to laugh.
A field generator,
she said, coughing once.
Remember?
Harp collapsed by Leia's side.
I forgot all about it.
You won't next time, Leia pointed out, then had to cough again. Maybe she'd swallowed a little mud at the beginning. Chastelin pulled himself together almost instantly and held out his hand to Leia, courtly and formal.
Will you rise, my lady?
Usually she found his emphasis on her royal status irritating, but today it felt comforting, like being wrapped in a familiar blanket. Leia let him pull her to her feet. Although the world tilted oddly at first, she soon regained her balance. Wet mud slithered down her body, and Chastelin put his free hand to his chest.
Your royal robes are stunning, Your Highness. Designer.
She laughed again.
One of a kind.
They belatedly made it to the rendezvous point, so late that Chief Panji and the others had begun assembling a search party. Kier went to Leia immediately, gathering her in his arms. So much for being discreet, she thought, although at the moment she couldn't care. Chastelin's temper had returned, and this time it was directed squarely at the chief.
This is ridiculous! Harp gets injured on Alderaan, Leia and Kier nearly fall to their deaths on Felucia, and now this! Pathfinding's supposed to be a learning experience, not survival of the fittest!
Chief Panji just shook her head.
Field generators, Stevus. You're supposed to use the field generator so that nobody gets hurt. You have to remember that. Or else what?
Chastelin retorted.
We die! Exactly.
The chief let the word hang in the shocked silence that followed, until she continued in a quieter, more serious tone than Leia had ever heard from her.
Pathfinding can be dangerous. Every single one of you knew that before you began. Every single one of you thought that danger somehow didn't apply to you because you're young and stupid about that kind of thing. You have to learn better, and I'd rather you learned it out here with your field generators to save you than somewhere else in the galaxy where you get no safety net, no teammates, and no second chances. Pathfinding isn't just about learning how to find your way around. It's about learning how to think on your feet, how to deal with real risks. Even how to face the fear of death.
Did my parents realize this? Leia wondered, before deciding that of course they had. In the circle of her classmates, everyone remained hushed and subdued, Harp pale and shaky, Sam with his head hanging low, Chastelin unexpectedly solemn. Except for pink-haired Emmeline Holdo, who grinned and said,
I knew it!
Originally, Leia had planned on returning to Coruscant with the others. But after her tumble through the mudslide, she felt the need to go back home at least for a night or two.
I could come with you if you want.
Kier held one of her hands in both of his as they stood at the spaceport. The class's transport sat a few meters away, their friends already climbing aboard.
Look after you on the way back. Then we could return to Coruscant together.
It's all right. Honestly, I'm exhausted. I just want to sleep. Which was true, if not the whole truth. Leia wasn't so shaken by her experience that she'd failed to see an opportunity, one she wasn't yet ready to share with anybody else, even Kier.
If you're sure, Kier said.
When she nodded, he kissed her forehead once, brushed his thumb along her cheek, and headed off to the transport. Leia didn't have to wait on her own very long.
The Polestar arrived promptly, with Ress Batten alone at the helm. Batten hurried out to greet her, then frowned.
"You look fine. I was told you'd been in mortal peril, and this is, what, slightly mussed hair?
You should have seen me before I washed up." Even though she'd changed back into her dark blue traveling gown, and now looked almost as polished as 2V could wish for, Leia's skin still itched from the mere memory of mud. "Come on, let's go." They took off from the surface of Chandrila without more than half a dozen extra words exchanged between them. Never had Batten mentioned their voyage to Crait, but Leia could sense the knowledge between them at times, a silence more energizing than intimidating. Although she wasn't certain how to read Batten's reaction, it certainly wasn't disapproval or fear. Hopefully it was curiosity. "So," Leia began, a few minutes before they would make the jump to hyperspace, "would you say that we've taken some interesting trips together?" Batten shook her head.
"They've been pretty dull, really. Average. Every day.
Humdrum." "Humdrum? Like that run to Crait?"
"So boring."
Leia made sure to look down at the console, not at Batten's face, as she said, "On the way home, I was thinking, if it wouldn't take too long, maybe we could take another boring trip. Something completely average."
"Oh, yeah?"
The note of pure anticipation in Ress Batten's voice made Leia look up to see the older woman's grin.
"Turns out I could use a little more humdrum in my life."
"She wants this," Leia thought. "She knows this is action against the Empire, and she wants in. How many others must be ready, willing, even eager to join us as soon as we speak the word?" To Batten, she said only, "The Palkris Major System. No landings this time. Distance observation only. And let's leave it off the logs."
"Your Highness, I like the way you think."
As the Polestar hurtled through the blue shimmer of hyperspace, Leia lay back on one of the long couches. Adrenaline battled with exhaustion, and won, barely, as she counted through the possibilities. "Batten's probably a good candidate to join us someday. Chasselin Stevens? Maybe not as bad as he seems at first. But still, he'd report us in a heartbeat. Emmeline Holdo?" Leia frowned. By now, she genuinely liked Emmeline and believed her to have noble ideals. But that didn't change the fact that the girl seemed highly unlikely to be useful in a crisis situation. Thinking of Kier made her smile. Of course Kier would want to play a role. She hadn't forgotten his concerns about protecting Alderaan, but lots of planets were joining forces now. He loathed the Emperor and was braver about speaking out than most. When they took action, he'd be by their side.
"Coming out of hyperspace in a moment, Your Highness,"
Batten called back to Leia. When she stood up, Leia felt another wave of tiredness hit her. She reminded herself of the bed waiting for her back on Alderaan. It wouldn't be long now. They were only here to take a few scans of the system. To her, it seemed no more than feeling out the dimensions of what her parents were planning, getting an idea of scope and scale that would let her know what to prepare for. Would they be going after targets like Caldera Station, trying to persuade more ships to defect? The small shudder that went through the Polestar meant they were back in real space. Leia joined Ress Batten in the cockpit and found her already running scans.
"You sure are interested in this boring planet," she said.
But Batten had lost interest in the joke.
"Oh, Criff," she said as data rolled by her. "Criff and Criff.
What? There aren't... Is the Empire..."
"No, that's not it."
Batten brought up a visual on the screen.
"Look at this."
The scans hadn't even touched the planet's surface. Instead, they focused on what floated in orbit. Dozens of larger ships, from mid-sized transports to enormous planetary battleships, were tethered to spindly deep space repair stations, no doubt by tractor beams. Some of the ships were newer, but most looked old, though Leia could tell they were being repaired. No. refurbished. Kier had shown her enough of his Clone Wars historical materials for her to recognize that some of the planetary ships dated from that era, but they now sported newer, top-of-the-line engines.
"They're fixing them up," Batten said, more to herself than to Leia.
"Getting them ready." Up until this moment, Leia had believed her parents would support strike attacks. Controlled, directed military action. Nothing like the terrorist acts of Saw Gerrera. Resistance to Palpatine's forces. Maybe defense for those most directly endangered. Pressure that would force the Emperor to listen, to moderate. Maybe even to abdicate. She'd been fooling herself. Looking out at the sheer scope of the armada in front of her, Leia finally understood that her parents were preparing to go to war. Chapter 24.
The Clone Wars.
The docent of the Emperor's Museum addressed the apprentice legislature tour with the clasped hands and carefully monotone voice of a funeral guest. Behind him, a flat screen showed images of thousands of clone troopers marching in lockstep across rugged terrain.
"A tragedy such as has rarely been seen before, and thankfully never will again."
Leia flinched, then glanced around her, hoping no one had noticed. Nobody had. Most of her classmates were visibly, profoundly bored. Kier, who stood by her side, was of course completely engrossed in the images playing before them. Real footage of the Clone Wars he'd studied so much. Real footage. False history.
"Count Dooku of Sereno led the separatist faction away from the faltering Republic," the docent continued. "Although he acted out of craven ambition, with disregard for the billions of lives that would be lost, Dooku was correct about one thing. The Republic had indeed become rotten at its core, no longer governed by law, order, and discipline. Had the Senate chosen a different chancellor after the deposition of the weak, ineffectual Valorum, galactic order itself might have fallen apart. But the times we live through create the heroes we need."
The inaugural portrait of Palpatine filled the screen, until it seemed as if the Emperor himself was smiling down at them with kindly eyes. Leia wondered how much digital manipulation had been necessary to create that illusion of kindness. Or maybe he was only acting. Either way, she couldn't see the point of projecting a benevolent image while doing everything necessary to prove himself a cruel man and a warmonger. Palpatine started the past war. Was her father starting the next one? As the docent led them into the display about Palpatine's childhood, titled From Humble Beginnings, like Naboo was poverty-stricken, Leia trailed behind. Kier murmured,
"Are you all right? You've been quiet all day."
"I guess. It's just all so..." She made a hand gesture instead of outright saying the word fake. Kier considered that carefully.
"When I go looking for deeper background information, it's hard to find primary sources.
You should talk to my dad sometime. He could tell you stories you wouldn't believe. Like the time bounty hunters took him and several other senators hostage in the heart of the Senate itself." It was safe to mention that incident publicly. Most of the stories Bail Organa had to tell about the Clone Wars were far more politically sensitive.
"Would he tell me about it? Really?"
Kier had the fascinated gleam in his eye that most guys his age only had for newspeeders. Leia managed to smile. "Yeah. My parents adore you, by the way."
"Hope they're not the only ones."
She nudged his side. He nudged back. And they took each other's hands. A few steps away, she saw Chasselin pretending to vomit. The joke was probably meant to be more friendly than not. But Leia had no patience for it. In truth, she found it hard to concentrate even on Kier's presence, or on the museum of lies around them. Her mind kept going back to the fleet around Palkris Major, preparing for a conflict with the potential to make the Clone Wars look like a dinner party.
Another dinner party?
Leia said in dismay as she stood in the great hall of the palace, watching the servitor droids whir about in a bustle of activity.
Yes, our queen is holding yet another banquet.
Tuvi practically gleamed with satisfaction as she rolled alongside her royal charge, weaving through droids carrying wine glasses and bundles of flowers.
I must say, it's so good to see a return to proper courtly standards of hospitality and conviviality. Now, Spitspot, off to your room. We've got to make you presentable, and the Maker knows we hardly have the time.
There was nothing for Leia to do but follow. She decided to come clean with her parents about snooping around the Palkra system as soon as she returned to Alderaan. Probably their explanation would be terrifying in its own right, as would the inevitable lectures she'd receive. But she decided she could endure any concrete truth better than the suspense of not knowing. Instead, she'd have to bear at least one more day of it, plus the knowledge that her parents were hard at work planning this right here in the palace, around a dinner table with their co-conspirators. Listen to me, co-conspirators, Leia thought as she absently shimmied into the pale yellow gown Tuvi had laid out for her. Her brain had already run ahead to one potential future, where all this had gone horribly wrong, where her parents were jailed or executed for treason, and where she was either left utterly alone or made to die by their side. It was as though she could hear the judicial officer speaking the charges already.
"Shall I put on the cuffs?" Tuvi said.
Leia stared at her until she realized the droid was talking about the broad silver cuff bracelets set out atop a cabinet. With a sigh, she held out her hands. By the time she emerged onto the terrace, the guests had already assembled. This appeared to be a smaller banquet than most. No doubt the people gathered around formed the core of the anti-Palpatine movement. Bail Organa was deep in discussion with Winmi Lenz, while Bria spoke with Senator Pamlo. In the distance, Saldera sparkled on the twilight horizon. It was Mon Mothma who first welcomed Leia, walking closer with a smile on her face.
"Princess, how very good to see you again."
"It's good to see you too," Leia said. But it wasn't. How was she supposed to get through the usual small talk with what she'd seen at Palkras weighing so heavily on her? Then it hit her. She could just ask Mon Mothma herself. Nobody else at this gathering would tell Leia the truth, maybe not even her parents. But Mon Mothma probably would. Leia began.
"My class took a trip to Chandrila recently. I heard you fell prey to the mudflats."
Mon Mothma put one hand on Leia's arm, a brief touch of apology.
"If you come back sometime and let me know, I can make sure you spend your time somewhere more agreeable."
As in, anywhere else ever. But Leia didn't get sidetracked. "On the way back, I took a short side..." She broke off as the doors to the terrace swung open wide, revealing the palace majordomo, Tarek, who looked on edge and discombobulated. Leia understood why the moment she recognized the figure behind him.
"Your Majesty! Viceroy!"
Tarek announced in his booming voice, his eyes darting from side to side.
"Presenting Grand Moff Willif Tarkin!"
Silence instantly fell. Everyone went utterly still, except for Tarkin, who strolled onto the terrace as though it were his own. He wore a full military uniform and a thin-lit smile.
"Your Majesty," he said,
half-bowing to Bria, his behavior as polished and polite as though he had actually been invited.
"Forgive my intrusion."
"Governor Tarkin," Bria responded so easily, smiled so gently, that any outsider would have thought nothing was wrong. "To what do we owe this unexpected pleasure?"
"I was traveling in my personal vessel, the Carrion Spike, when it suffered a systems malfunction."